God just keeps putting on my heart the idea of being noble. Does anybody know what noble is, kids? What's noble? Anybody? Anybody heard of like kings and queens? Raise your hand. Yes, ma'am.
Noble are people who are higher
ranking people. Would anybody else agree with that? I would. Like in monarchs, you have kings, queens, dukes, and they're supposed to be higher up than the rest of us peasants, right? You know, I'm but a peasant at best, you know. That's right. Noble is worthy and is of a good cause, right? So those are both secular descriptions of noble. The Bible is actually very clear on what nobility is, and it talks to us about that in Acts 17. And that's what we're going to kind of read about. So we're going to start off with Scripture. Acts chapter 17, verses 10 through 15. As soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now the Berean Jews were of noble character, or more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. As a result, many of them believed, as did a number of prominent Greek women and Greek men. But then the Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God at Berea. Some of them went there too, agitating the crowds and stirring them up. The believers immediately sent Paul to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed in Berea. Those who escorted Paul brought him to Athens and then left with him instructions for Silas and Timothy to join him as soon as possible. What did I tell you about messing up? We do a lot. So that's God's word. He talks to us about nobility. What does Luke describe as being noble? What did you hear? What did you read? What did you color about being noble? It is having eagerness to listen to God's word. Is that right? He said the people in Berea were eager to hear the word of God. But what was the second thing? They confirmed what they read. They studied what they read. If you notice, Timothy stayed in Berea. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show thyself approved, rightly dividing the word of God. So kids, here's your big idea. In a world that you can be anything, I'm going to challenge you to be noble. Anybody heard the saying, if you can be anything, be kind? I mean, it's all over Facebook, right? You know, if you can be anything, be loving, right? If you can be anything, be rich. You know, I'd rather cry in a Mercedes than cry in a, you know, a Yugo or a Corolla or whatever. I don't know. Hey, a Corolla. Hey, I know. What else? If you can be anything, they have all these captions. Let me tell you what fires me up. When I hear the word of God, my ears perk, right? Not because somebody sounds so like they came from a seminary, but because I hear hope. Like, this is what the word of God is telling me. So let me listen. But you know the difference between the people here and most of the people that hear the word of God or hear something? Most people don't go back home and read it for themselves. Most people don't confirm it. Do you know why that's important? Because if I said, and then Noah parted the Red Sea, and in your head you're like, yeah, someone parted the Red Sea, right? Had to have been Noah, because that's what the person on stage said. And then you go out and you spread, Noah parted the Red Sea to everybody. Is that very noble? Is that very honest? But do you think we do that? Probably. I think so. Raise your hand if you ever heard anything outside or maybe inside a church that was incorrect about the Bible, but you only knew that because you had actually done the reading yourself. You do realize that man will take the words of the Bible and tweak them just enough to fit what their mentality for you or their motivation for you to do is, right? If we don't get this in our hearts, inside of us, we can't actually ever be what the good Dr. Luke told us noble was. Like, God's word points out to us that being noble is being eager and then being disciplined. How many of us, when we hear the word of God, we get excited? How many of us, when we hear the word of God, hear blah, 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 blah? Yeah. I appreciate that, because I think in this audience, there are some days that we're really excited to hear it, and then there's other days we're on our phone. Or we're on our head, right? Like, what did that email said? What was I supposed to do on Wednesday? What did I not accomplish last night? What am I going to do when I get home? Where are we going to go to lunch? Man, I hope he gets us out of here before the other Baptist, you know? Yes, yes. What if, instead of saying that, what if you heard being noble is being eager and disciplined? You said, you know what? I don't believe him. I'm going to go home and I'm going to read for myself. See, that's what the Jews in Berea did that was different than everywhere else. We got some more slides. Show me some. Kids. Is that noble? That's like a fairy, right? Keep going. Elsa. This is what most people call noble in our world today. Money. Lots of money. Why is that considered noble? What does money give you? Material? Power? What else? Anything you want except for happiness, joy, peace, love. Yes. We look at people that are rich and we put them on this pedestal. We look at people that are poor and we put them down here. How often do you hear our society talk bad about poor people? And then we overcorrect, right? Then we are like, you see that rich person? You know, he's going to that bad place. He's going to the HE double hockey sticks, right? Because he's rich, and there's no way he could possibly be rich and believe in Jesus Christ at the same time. Where was our eagerness to get to know them? Where was our discipline to actually delve in and see where is their heart at? Do we have either one of those, or are we just going to sit back on the sidelines and be judgmental? Throw me a couple more picks. All right. We look at our entertainers in our athletes as being on these pedestals. Who's your mentors? Who do you look up to? Your mom and dad. Okay, so when I was your age, I looked up to Magic Johnson. Right? I did. That's who I wanted to be. Right? I wanted to play basketball in the pros. That's what I wanted to do. Anybody got anybody else? Michael Jordan. Anybody else? Bo Jackson? Neil Armstrong. What about you, Pastor? Who did you want to be when you were little? Other than Princess Diana.
Jose Canseco. The Bash Brothers.
Yes.
I love Bono.
Bono, there you go. Still love them. So we don't even know these people, right? Does anybody here actually know Michael Jordan? But most of us would say we know him, right? We know of him at least, right? Someone used to tell me, you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ will actually fund the rest of your life. He will provide everything in your life. It doesn't matter how well you know Michael Jordan. He's not cutting you a check. So I have one place I can go that I have absolute certainty that I'm going to be provided for. And then I have all these other places to go that I am clueless. Next pick. Who feels like that? Me too, right? So adults, who feels like that at work? Yeah. No, not at all. But you know what makes this important? There's three ways we hear something that we don't want to listen to or we've never heard before. We listen to it with anger. We rebuke it, right? We rebuke it the moment we hear it. We answer it just like this. with this blah, I don't care attitude. Like, whatever you say, it doesn't matter, we'll be fine. And then we hear it with an absolute excitement, right? The opposite of love is not hate, okay? The opposite of being angry is not exciting. The opposite of love is actually apathy. Does that make sense? The opposite of anger is not excitement. The opposite of anger is actually apathy. Excitement and anger are extreme emotions, right? You have feeling. When you get older, kids, you're going to get in relationships. And when the other person is angry with you or they're loving you, you know they still care. But the moment they stop talking to you, the moment they don't care anymore, the moment they don't care what you do, you learn that you're in trouble in that moment, right? And I sure don't want to be apathetic to my wife or my kids. I would hate to be apathetic and look like this to Jesus. But if we're honest, is that how we read our Bibles? Right? I mean, I sit down at 6 o'clock in the morning and I go have my time and I'm sipping a cup of coffee and I'm reading and I'm putting it into me. And or do I sit down at 6 o'clock in the morning with a cup of coffee and like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I get to start my day in God's word. Do you know how many other people are waking up with an alarm clock and they're having to go straight to work or straight to this or straight to that? They're not disciplined enough to wake up 30 minutes early, go in God's hope, go get in his word, and start their day with eagerness and discipline, with a little bit of nobility. When I got sober, nobility was a big word for me. I didn't know how to be a good father. I didn't know how to be a good friend. I don't know if I knew how to be a good anything. Maybe like good at doing bad things, but I didn't know how to do good. So they used to tell me, do you want honor and do you want to be noble? That is when I first learned about nobility. And then so I did what we all do when I learned something new. What is nobility? So I learned all the stuff the world says nobility is. So if I want to be noble and I want to be a good father, then I must have to either go make a lot of money, go get lots of degrees, right? Lots of paper on the wall. Because it's okay to be, you know, not have money if you got lots of degrees, right? In my head, that's made sense. But it wasn't until a man looked me dead in my eyes and said, if you want to be noble, you got to get in this Bible. You've got to get in your word. And I think to myself, when Paul is sitting in Berea talking to all these Jews, and they all know that he knows the Old Testament, right? We all know about Paul's education, is that correct? We all know that here he is saying that everything that the Old Testament would happen, just happened with Jesus coming to earth. And that's the rub. There were a lot of people in Thessalonica or in Berea that did not want to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. There are still people today that don't want to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, no matter how much scripture has been fulfilled. And when do we stop proving it? Like, I don't read in any of this where Paul's like, let me tell you why Jesus is real and goes down this checklist, right? Why are we doing checklists? Why don't we say, look what God's doing in my life. Look what he's doing in the life of all the people I know. If you want hope, if you feel hopeless, ask Jesus to come into your heart. But when we look like this, when we're talking to God, when we're listening to God, or when someone's teaching us about God, I would ask you, how excited are we to listen? How excited are we to absorb? Raise your hand if you've been married 15 plus years. If you looked like this when your spouse was talking to you, how often would they talk to you? How good a relationship would you have? The most important relationship in my life should be mine with Jesus Christ. Shouldn't be mine and my wife, shouldn't be mine and my kids, shouldn't be mine and y'all's, right? Shouldn't be me and pastors, it should be mine with Jesus. Because do you know that if I'm noble in my approach, that I will be kind, I will be loving, I will be courteous. Brian, I will give because my heart will be there. But if I'm not excited about what I'm learning and I'm not confirming what I hear, then I might as well be listening to a motivational speaker. You've heard me say it from up here before. The only difference between a motivational speaker and a pastor typically is a motivational speaker is going to tell you how you personally can take care of yourself. And any pastor worth his salt that has been given the right by Jesus Christ to stand up here and that God has ordained him will tell you, you can't do anything without Jesus. Now, once you add Jesus to your life, there's nothing you can't take care of. But you have to be good, and you have to be a steward of your talents, your finances, your time. I hope that any time that we have the ability to come up here and talk about Jesus, that you feel encouraged, but also challenged. Are you excited to talk to Jesus every day? Are you excited about what he's telling you? Are you letting him talk back to you? Are you excited when you get a chance to fast? I am, man. Give me a decision I need to make, and Cheryl will tell you I will pray and I will fast and I'll be excited about it, because the Bible tells me not to walk around grumbling so that people say, oh my goodness, are you fasting? You know, because then you get all your honor here on earth, right? Like, I don't want it here. You know, if you've had any measure of life, any measure, you realize that nothing here is actually worth it. It's only what God promises us. Kids, when you go to school, your parents do not ask you to go to school because they need a babysitter for 12 hours or 8 hours a day. The whole purpose to go to school is to do what? To learn. But not just academics, but to learn how to treat other people, to respond to other people, how to have empathy and grace towards other people. When your teachers are talking, is this very respectful to look like this when your teachers are talking? You think so? The problem is we look like this in life, and we can't understand why people think we're disrespecting them. Because when we look like this, whether we're at the grocery store, whether we're at work, whether we're at home, parents, maybe we ought not look like this when our kids are talking to us. You ever had a kid come up to you and want to talk to you, and you're like, dude, the last thing I want to do is listen to you right now. Anybody else ever feel like that? You're not perfect human, man. It's being a noble Christian, right? To say, not only, Isaac, do I want to hear what you're saying, but I'm excited to hear what you're saying, not because you're my child, but because you are a member of the body of Christ, and I'm excited to hear what you're learning. Because sometimes these kids are not going to get what they need from their parents. They're going to need it from the whole body. We are responsible for each one of us. Discipline, nobility, eagerness. Next slide. Looks like our church. Next slide. Look at this. You have a person more interested to the person next to him than they are in what's being taught. Well, that's huge. It is, but let me ask you this. How many of us do this in church? We've had all week to talk to our spouse or our kid, and we're going to talk to them instead of listening to the word of God come forth. Yeah, then you wait till before or after. Next slide. Ooh, that's Isaac. I believe that. So Sharon and I go out to eat with our parents and our children. And we got to tell our parents to put their phones up. And we got to tell our children to put their phones up. And then we walk into the restaurant, and you know what they need for you to have when you're in the restaurant? Is your cell phone. It is. It's like, God, are you just messing with us? You know, it's all we could do to get them to leave in the car. Next slide. Pay attention. Luke, when you're talking to somebody and they're not paying attention, do you really feel like they're listening? Do you feel like they even care? So what if God looked at us when we talked to him, when we were crying? So most of you kids, I don't know if you, all of you, but most of you have not had that one moment where you're just crying out to God, where you need one person to listen to you. I think most adults sitting in here, every adult had that moment where they just, man, I don't have nobody else. I need you. how God responds to us, we know that his word says that he will provide and he will do for us. There's nothing he won't do. But how are we doing for other people, Luke? What do you do every time I pass by your house? Why do you think I do that? To show you muscles or to show you that I care? It's impossible for me to say I care for God and not care for the people that are made in his likeness. Not care for my brothers and sisters. So if I'm going to pretend that I care about what God thinks, then I need to be in it and care what you have to say. Is that accurate? That's how we build this church, right? We're not going to build this church by having play dates and having jumpy houses out front. We're going to build this church by being honest. If you don't like it, say you don't like it. If you like it, good. We're going to build this church by being authentic in not only our relationship with Jesus Christ, but our authentic in our relationships with each other. And we're going to build this church by being noble. Not only are we going to be excited to hear what the Word of God says, but we're going to confirm it. Challenge me. Challenge Pastor Keith. Challenge yourselves to speak truth. I can only speak truth if I'm in truth. So I will leave you with this. There are three phrases that I love in this world. Pastor says, mama says, Bible says. Most of my life I lived by the first two. Either some governing body spoke or my mama told me. It wasn't until I realized what God said, until I started to have any independence, any freedom, any hope, and I realized it didn't matter what they think, because I'm only up here for what God. I only come up here because I'm not going to have my running shoes on for God. It ain't about man. Is that okay? Proud of you. Can we give her a hand clap? My heart good every time she's up here singing, right? Makes me wonder, what am I doing every day that I'm not challenging myself to get through my fears? I'm a 250-pound man. I don't fear being on stage. But I am scared to death about a lot of things. Most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we are just grateful that you bring us here together. We're grateful you bring our friends all the way out, traveling in, get to hear your word, get to spend time with us. Lord, we ask that you continue to allow this church to grow. As we have revival in this church, let us know that that revival will start with our eagerness, but it will also start with our willingness to be disciplined enough to confirm in God's word. Lord, we're honored. We are blown away that you would entrust us with the ability to pass your word to everybody we run into. Let us be just as eager to speak it as we are hear it. Let us be just as eager as to receive it as we are as to spread it. In your most precious Son's name we pray. Amen.